and decide that they would create their own light. They would do it themselves. They would find another way. And we find it in this text. I believe that Cain illustrates religion and Abel illustrates a walk with God.
It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we believe. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name, of Jesus, that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. Now we can water down theology and preach a word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet, subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within.
It's still the
history. The cross of Jesus still remains the price for sin that sets us free.
It's still the
cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name.
Bibles together, 1 John, and we are going to begin our reading in this wonderful book in our Bible, 1 John, and let's begin in verse number 12 together, 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 12. Now, when we study through the book of 1 John, it is a book about being real and about authentic, our authentic Christian faith and what the Bible has to say about being real. There's many messages in this wonderful book in our Bible. I've been studying through the various, through in my own personal devotion, this book in our Bible, and I have some notes written down. And so I'm not sure the direction that the Lord will have us go with this message. He's in control, but I'm looking forward to see the direction myself, to be honest with you. If it makes sense at all, it's because of the Lord, is what I'm trying to say. But there's a great truth in this book, in our Bible. Again, it's about being real and what the Bible has to say about true Christianity and compared to religion. there are many books or many messages in the book of 1 John. It talks about that we can know that we have eternal life. It talks about the love of God in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, the love of God. It talks about the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible talks about the end days, and the Antichrist will come into this world. But the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist, or against Christ, is already present in our world. Think about what the Mormons teach. The Mormonism teaches that God the Father has a body of flesh and bones, and that Jesus is a creation. It teaches that he was begotten in heaven as one of God's spirit children, Jesus Christ. The Korean accept Jesus as a prophet, as a messenger sent by God, as word of God without definition, and as a spirit of God created like Adam. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ was a perfect man and that he is a person distinct from God the Father. However, they also teach that before his earthly life, Jesus was a spirit creature, Michael, the archangel, who was created by God and became the Messiah at his baptism. According to Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is a mighty one, although not almighty as Jehovah God is. According to John 1:1 in their Bible, the New World Translation, Christ is a God, but not the God. They teach that Jesus was and is and always will be beneath Jehovah, and that Christ and God are not co-equal. The Bible teaches us that there is one God, and the Bible teaches us that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are equally God, and that Jesus is God and begotten of God. And so the spirit of Antichrist, or against Christ, is in our world today. And there are many religions in our world today. It doesn't take long to see all the various religions that we have in our world today. We think of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the list goes on and on. And so let's notice what the Bible says in the 12th verse of 1 John chapter 3. And I call this message not as Cain, or also we can call it a look into pure religion compared to empty devotion. The Bible says in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at your word tonight. And Lord, I understand I'm not able to help anyone. It's your word that truly makes a difference. And so, Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say. Lord, I understand my inability to help anyone, for without you, I can do nothing. And so I pray that you would fill my mind with your thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would use me to deliver your message to help your children. And may you be glorified in our attitudes here tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we open our Bibles, we come into this epistle, a story from the Old Testament. It's a story of the very first murder in the Bible. You know, as we look at the Word of God in Genesis chapter 4, it doesn't take long in the book of Genesis to see the result of sin. The very first family is marred because of sin, and The reality is that after Cain and Abel was just a series of other families that had problems because of the results of sin in humanity. And so if your family has problems, then you're in good company. We're glad that God solves those problems. And God helps us and gives us confidence and direction. Now, the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that Cain was not a Christian. The Bible says that Cain was of that wicked one. The Bible says that Abel was a man of faith. He believed the Lord. And this brings us really to this place of religion versus a relationship. And really, it's a paradigm. It's a different perspective. You see, the Bible says that religion is man reaching to God, trying to get God's favor, doing something in their ability to get God's attention. A relationship, or as James chapter 1 teaches us, pure religion, undefiled before God, is God reaching down to man. I think we could easily state it this way. Religion says do, and a relationship says done. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. The sermon is really real simple tonight, and it's really for our information, our help, as we think about all the religions in our world and we talk to people that are caught up in these religions. I hope that this will help us as we learn about the Lord in this passage of Scripture. I have just two points tonight, real simple. Number one, this is the first point. Religion doesn't produce righteousness. Religion does not produce righteousness. The Bible says in our text here in 1 John chapter 3, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John in the third chapter. The Gospel of John in the third chapter. And I want us to understand something about the love of God that I think it's important for us to understand. In John chapter 3, you know the context. We have Jesus talking to a man, a Pharisee, Nicodemus is his name. And they're having a conversation about eternal life. In John 3:16, of course, what we would say is probably one of the most popular verses in our world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send his son in the world to point his finger at humanity and say, you rotten sinners. The Bible says God did not come to condemn us. Look what the Bible says in verse 17, but that through him we might be saved. So eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says in verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. So the judgment of God is upon all of those that reject the light that God gives. This is the condemnation, that light has come into this world, but men have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so you can tell someone, God doesn't want you to go to hell, because God gave you the very best that heaven could offer. He gave of himself so that you could have eternal life. And the reality is the condemnation or the judgment of God is upon someone when they reject the opportunity that God has given to them. And that is light that has come to the world. The Bible says that God lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. And this is the condemnation, the Bible says, that men reject what Jesus Christ has done. And so where does religion come from? Religion comes from people who reject the light and decide that they would create their own light. They would do it themselves. They would find another way. And we find it in this text. I believe that Cain illustrates religion and Abel illustrates a walk with God. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 4, if we turn there, and let's go to the beginning and look at this story and really look at it in a deeper way. Genesis chapter 4, and notice what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 4, you can hold your place in 1 John chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, I believe that very expression. I say this every time I read this, but I believe that was an expression of faith. I believe that Eve believed what God said in John 3:16, but also Genesis 3:15, when the promise of the Messiah would come. The Bible says in verse 2, "And she bare," she had a man from the Lord, and again she bare, verse 2, "his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth," he was very angry, "and his countenance fell, he became depressed. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." We have really in the Bible a very important principle about sin. Sin is a horrible master. And we will either control the flesh or the flesh will control us. And if we allow the flesh to control us, then it brings about destruction. And so here the Lord said to Cain, "Cain, why are you upset? Cain, if you allow sin to reign in your life, then it's just waiting at the door and it's waiting to attack and to destroy." The Bible says in verse number 8, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." We don't know what they talked about. We don't know the conversation. But we do find the very first murder in the Bible. It's a sad commentary. It truly is. Now understand that if you have seen in Sunday school pictures of Cain and Abel, you often see a couple of boys or some teenage boys. These Cain and Abel at this particular time, they were older men. They weren't children here. They were older men. And here the Bible says that both of them were given commands of what God required. They knew God's direction for a sacrifice. Cain knew and Abel knew. In fact, if we would turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 11. Follow along here. I got a lot of verses. I want us to understand this. Hebrews chapter 11, and look what the Bible says in verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "By faith." Now just underline that in your Bible, "by faith." You say, why is that statement important? Because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, Abel had faith in God because Abel was given the word of God. Abel, this is what God requires. This is what God requires for a sacrifice. And Cain was given that same instruction. And yet the Bible says that Abel had faith and Cain did not have faith. Hebrews chapter 12, would you turn there? Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. The Bible says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh, this is verse 24, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." So the sacrifice that Abel gave to the Lord was a picture of bigger things, of better things. It was a picture or a sign that Jesus Christ would come and would die on the cross for our sins. And Abel believed God. This was given in Genesis 3:15, that from the seed of the woman, the Messiah would come and destroy the devil and the work of the devil. And Abel believed God. And God gave instruction that by the shedding of blood, that one day the Lamb of God would die, his blood would be shed. And by that sacrifice, those sins of the entire world would be atoned for. And Abel believed God by faith. He believed that the Lord would come as a man and would die on the cross. There's a wonderful story in Abraham's life when Abraham was to take his son, Isaac, to Mount Moriah. And Isaac was taken to Mount Moriah, and Abraham was going to kill his son because Abraham believed by faith that God would raise him from the dead. And Isaac said to Abraham, his father, he said, "Dad, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And very prophetic, we have this truth. Abraham looks at his son and he says, "Son, the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. Jesus Christ would come and he would be the Lamb of God." And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, let's go back there, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, I believe. Let me jump back here. Verse number 4, yes. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." The sacrifice did not save Abel. Abel had faith in God. And that sacrifice showed that Abel believed God. You see, the Bible says that salvation in the Old Testament is the salvation of the New Testament. They look to the cross. We look back to the cross. But both believed God, and both it was accounted unto us for righteousness' sakes. The Bible says that Abel believed the Lord. But Cain did not have faith. By the way, the Bible says that which is not done of faith is sin. Cain didn't believe God. Cain came with his own sacrifice. He was a tiller of the ground. He gave the Lord the fruit of his hand. And by the way, it is a picture of religion in itself. Religion offers what they can do. "Lord, this is what I have. Take what I have. This is what I can give to you," whether, you know, all the various things that religion offers. But Cain did it his own way. He followed his own path. And yet the Lord said to Cain, "Cain, if you would do what is right, if you would do what I have told you to do, your sacrifice would be accepted." You see, Cain is a picture of religion. But wait a minute. There's more to it than that. Now think about the religions of our world today. Think about people trying to get to heaven by their means. Think of as Cain doing their own thing, living their own life. Think of all the religions in our world today. By the way, God is not the author of confusion, but the devil is the author of confusion. And the devil is happy when people are confused and don't know the truth. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. For the devil has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And so the Bible teaches us the deeds of Cain were evil works. By the way, they were evil works because he was from his father, the devil, the Bible says. He came his own way. He did his own thing. "Lord, this is what I have to give to you. Lord, I'll give you church membership. I'll give you sacraments. I'll give you baptism. I'll give you all of these things, Lord. Here they are. They're all yours." But salvation is not of those things. Salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. And so the deeds of Cain were evil works. They were disobedient. But look at this. The deeds of Abel, they were righteous. They were right. They were in obedience to God. You know, when you look at the Bible and you go all the way back to the book of Matthew and you read through the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you think about the early church. The greatest enemy in even in early church history.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org. Or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236. Or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.